"Donald," he said, "believe me when I tell you that everything on the island is going forward as planned. Everything on that island is perfectly fine."
It just reminds me of the dog in the burning house meme.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You're just smiling. Like, everything's fine. Nothing's going wrong.
I know we're jumping ahead here, but how about we tandem read what you wrote for the overview? Yeah,
so
read the first
because
line.
We are a meme. We are a podcast inspired by memes.
Since we're just the fucking memes of people, we're just fucking jokes is what Ophi is saying.
No, you can't just recreate extinct life and not expect things to go horribly wrong.
Dinosaur go roar.
That's kind of it. That really is kind of the gist of the spirit of the whole series, really, because, God, there's a lot of Jurassic Park media nowadays. Jesus
Christ.
Not
all of it great.
It's huge. What, you didn't like 3? 3 was like, I remember
that
I got
was
3
the first
for Christmas.
One I watched. Oh,
me
yeah,
too, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
The first
and
one
I'm
I
like,
because my mom bought it for me. He's like, oh, you like mm-hmm. this, right? And I was like, yeah. Well, I've never saw the other ones, so I guess
so,
we'll
I mean,
see.
Hey, there was blood. It. Things got, people got eaten. Yeah.
Well, I mean, people got eaten in this book too, but hey, oof. Folks, welcome to the Spotter Pod, spot number 62, I think. Jurassic Park. The book, not the movie.
Yeah, no,
maybe some, maybe in the future, who knows? As always, ako si Jeffrey Excellence, kasama ako. Together with me is
Miyamo. Wait, no, that's not how do you say my yeah. name is.
Yeah, no.
Oh, correct. Really? Okay. Yeah, oh, correct. Yeah, Miyamo Ophi.
Yeah. Hey, you know.
Olay?
Oh, wait, what? Why would it Olay? Be Olay?
I don't know. I don't know Spanish. Is it?
If your name was John, why would they not call you John if they were speaking to you in Spanish?
What were they? John? Wait, what?
No, what I'm saying is they would call you by your original name, but they would probably just say it with the accent. Whatever. Okay, well, aside
after
from
thoroughly,
that.
Being thoroughly confused now.
After being
as I usually am.
Welcome to another spot. We are doing Jurassic Park. If it's your first time listening, how we normally do this intro is we have any lingering thoughts from our last episode. Any lingering thoughts on the classic that is known as The Little Panda Fighter?
Well, you see, The Little Panda Fighter. YouTube. You can watch it for free on YouTube, unless you listen to this in a future where it's not available for some reason, in which case I think you missed out on one of the greatest cinematic masterpieces about a panda that was made by a Brazilian studio ever.
Okay.
I think it's really second to none, really. Because
yeah, literally second to none. You're correct. No other comparison.
No, it's incomparable. The incomparable pancotta.
You know what? That should have been a line in the movie. That would have been pretty good, honestly. The incomparable pancotta.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Man, I really hope that they named him Pancotta because it's a play on kata from karate, even though it's a boxing panda, but or rather a pro wrestling panda, but you know, who knows?
Isn't that like K-A-T-A?
I think so. I think that's how you spell kata, yeah.
But pancotta is spelled C-A-D-A.
So. Oh, is it? Ah, it's just fucking whack then. Maybe that's how you say panda in Portuguese?
Oh, wait, hold on. I just Googled it. Pancotta, apparently. A blower hit? Oh, wow. Wait, what language? What? Really? What? I don't know if this is right. What dictionary? If you thump something, you hit it hard with your fist.
Yeah.
What? Oh, maybe it's... What? So it's saying,
you know,
it's like it means thump. Oh, okay. Actually, I know. You know. Oh, it is Portuguese. What? Okay. You know what? Okay. That's pretty good.
I'll give him that.
It does mean apparently.
Brazilian studio.
It does apparently mean stroke or blow.
Stroke attack. About to pancotta really quick. Turn the camera off.
Pancotta all over my. Oh no.
Pancotta myself. Hey. It seems that you put some news on here. How about you
I
talk
didn't put
about
the news.
That instead
yeah, hey.
About stroking it?
Well, I guess you could be stroking it. I was stroking it.
Oh, great. Even better.
When I saw the news of, hey, look, the next Monster Hunter has been revealed. going back on the Switch. It's called Rise, Monster Hunter Rise. Because you got like, you could Spider-Man it. They give you a kind of like a grappling hook, but you could do it like just in the air. You don't need to.
They had a grappling hook in World as well.
Yeah, but you can like do this no matter. You don't need terrain to do it. It just grapple the air.
Oh, so it's like Spider-Man. God, which game did that? I'm trying to remember. I think Shattered Dimensions did that.
That sounds about right.
But that one wasn't really a conventional Spider-Man game. It was like, you weren't set in an open world. You were more like, what's it called? You went through levels as like
linear. Yeah, a little more linear.
So it was a little different. But.
Yeah. But hey, yeah, no, Monster Hunter Rise. There's dogs now. We have, they're called Palamutes. And you can ride them.
Oh, what?
Pretty damn cool. Yeah, no.
How big are they?
Big enough to ride. They're like probably like wolf sized, honestly.
Holy shit.
They're huge.
Palicos and Palamutes. I love it.
And you can have both. You can have two of them. So
who needs friends online when you have virtual pets to kill things with? Am I right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But yeah, no, Monster Hunter Rise is on the Switch. I'm glad they're still making games for the Switch, you know? I don't think they're transitioning to a new console anytime soon for Nintendo, are they?
Yeah, I think because the Switch came out like PS4 and Xbox One came out like
they're on a different timeline.
Yeah, a little different timeline because, you know, obviously the new shit's coming out.
I actually think that's a smart thing to do. I mean, obviously I ain't no fucking businessman, but I think being on a different rotation cycle than the other two consoles kind of puts you in an advantage because you don't have to necessarily compete with them when they launch, right? So
yeah, and obviously Nintendo in terms of like their just generally differentiate themselves more
exactly
the other two with the
because the more exclusive games time goes on, like I feel like the closer the PlayStation and Xbox got in similarities, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's still a couple like
not in exclusives, I mean
like power or like features.
I mean the
like,
controllers, how it looks, the features and all
like,
that.
At a point it really is just about like what are the exclusive games. Like hey they're remastering Spider-Man, like it's they're changing it and like, making it cooler for PS5. That's crazy.
Yeah, I heard they're remastering it and then they're adding the Miles Morales DLC, which is fucking hype. So man, I'm definitely gonna jump on that, but I'm probably not gonna buy it on launch because I never buy it on launch, which makes me kind of sad.
I don't even think. Hey, I mean, you. I don't know if you could do it because you know that pre-ordering thing was kind of fucked up. Apparently.
Oh really? Like the Fallout 76 level of fucked up, or
I actually not yet to be seen. Maybe worse. Actually,
that's really bad then.
Well, I'm not sure how bad was it for Fallout because I didn't really follow that game because I didn't really care. But
well, they hold up, one of the pre-order things I think is you're supposed to get like some sort of duffel bag, and then bags instead.
Okay, you know, this is more like people can't. Like, so many people tried to pre-order, like they there's no stock. So many people are okay. So that's the issue. Not a shitty. Like, I remember that. Though. I remember hearing about that. Yeah.
Okay.
Where I still have my really nice Fallout 3 lunchbox.
That's pretty dope.
Pretty good.
I dig that.
Yeah. Cool.
Oh, dude, something I really want to play on the Switch though is No More Heroes 3.
Oh, is that coming out?
Yeah, I never had a chance. I should see if they still have it on PlayStation Store because I want to play the first one and the second one, but I don't think they released the second one on PSN. They might in the future, but
wait, would they? I didn't even know that series was on PlayStation. I just
they put the first game on PS3. But I don't think they released the site. I mean, I'll have to double check, but as far as I know, that was a game series I desperately wanted to get into, which is weird because I had a Wii, but I just could I never got a chance to play it, which is weird.
Weird stuff.
Moving on from that, so in case you heard our glorious intro today, we are covering
I hope you
Jurassic
did
Park the novel by
Michael Crichton? Crichton? Oh, God, I feel bad. Wait. Crichton? Crichton?
Crichton? Crichton. I don't
know. They named a dinosaur after him. Isn't that awesome?
Oh, you know what? That's I think that's apropos because, you know, yeah. I think when you were our age, what made dinosaurs popular not wasn't really Land Before Time, but motherfucking Jurassic Park.
I love Land Before Time too, though.
No, but, look, I'm not saying I didn't like it. I'm just saying.
I got you.
What made it cool? More, you know what I mean? It's fucking more Jurassic Mass Park. Appeal.
It was Jurassic Park, and also I don't know if you ever heard of the Walking with Dinosaurs series too.
I don't think I know that one.
Okay. Now that one was kind of like not like
do you remember the dinosaur Disney movie?
I had a toy of, I never actually watched it. I had a toy of it back when I was actually, a little baby boy.
When I was a kid, I liked that movie. I don't even know what that dinosaur was, honestly.
Yeah, it's an iguana. Iguanodon.
Iguanodon.
Yeah. But no,
There were monkeys in it and everything.
Yeah, there were monkeys. Which, you know, that's not, I mean, at this point, pointing out like historical or not historical, I guess. No, that's still historical. No, scientific inaccuracy.
There you go.
Inaccuracies. Like that's just shooting fish in a barrel. That's how science works. Things are wrong in the past. You know.
I mean, I think you could still have a kids' movie, you know, and not be a complete scientific crapshoot, you know. But
oh well. Hey, but we have this one, which I don't know if. It's probably not appropriate for kids to read this.
I mean, there's a kid's version of it, isn't there?
There is a kid's version. It's a.
I mean, not only is there some gore in it, or rather adult content in that sense, but I also think just like, I don't think children would necessarily appreciate the science fiction effort that went into the novel, right? Like, honestly, if I was fucking a nose picker 5-year-old, I'm not really going to give a shit that they put a whole DNA strand on a page, you know? I'd be like, what the fuck is this? Right?
Why is the guy talking about what is it? Chaos? Theory? What is this?
Why you gotta be like that?
A hypsilodont? What?
Or like even when they had, I'm not obviously too savvy on programming, but for the time that I worked on, what's it called? I did a little bit of programming for some chemistry related research, but a lot of that involved coding, right? Mm-hmm. So when I saw that on the page, I was like, oh, this is somewhat familiar to me. It's not like completely foreign. So I thought that was interesting to see. I think that's one of the details I really appreciate about this book. But
yeah, definitely. Enough of that. Let's get into not get into the gritty nitty gritty details yet, but let's go on to the quick overview. If you can't tell, Jurassic Park, and you probably also know it from the movie too, which is based on the book. But
so you saw the movie, right?
I have seen the movie.
Okay, so I'm kind of just curious, like how close is the movie to the book?
It's probably like more. It does follow like the general theme of it. It probably is a little less. Like,
folks dying.
Yeah, it's a little less, dark or pessimistic about it, I guess. About a lot of its themes, it's still an amazing.
I would say there's a lot of the tones. Since we were talking about themes and tones, or rather, we are about to. I think a lot. I would agree. I think a lot of the situations. I haven't seen the movie, but a lot of situations from the book are seen as pessimistic rather than wonderful, right? Because Hammond over here is trying to put it over as like the next great thing, when a lot of the other people are like, wow, this is low-key kind of scary.
Things are going kind of rough. Shit. I'm kind of fearing for my life here. And I think
gonna start now. I mean, it's kind of an old thing, so I feel like I shouldn't, but for those of you who don't know, this is obviously a spoiler cast for discussion, so
for a book,
a spoiler warning.
A book older than both of us. Well, actually, nah, fucking Siddhartha is like.
Wait, hold on, what?
1990.
Siddhartha was like, yeah, that shit's old. Wait, when did this book come out? I thought it was in 97.
90.
Oh shit, it is older than us.
And then the movie came out in 93.
Shit, that's older than us too.
Actually, hold on, Siddhartha came out in 1922. Why do I feel like, doesn't it feel like a book that came out like,
well, wait, hold on.
400s like, or something.
Maybe Siddhartha came out in 1922, but wasn't Siddhartha like based off an original text? So maybe that came off earlier, you know?
I don't know. I don't think so. From what I understand, Because I remember it was written by a German guy. Anyway, okay, hold on. Let's.
I thought it was translated from a German. Okay, what? We're not talking about Siddhartha. Let's talk about Chaos Theory, one of the main themes.
Let's talk about Chaos Theory. Well, not so we have
in this novel.
We have Mr. Ian Malcolm over here.
We got
here,
Big Dick Ian Malcolm, who wants to go on a tirade.
You're so fucking wrong, and you don't even understand how wrong you are. He's not wrong, and he's not wrong about that. We really don't know. Jesus Christ, if you think about it. Anyway, yeah, Chaos Theory. Oh, Jesus.
Honestly, this a little like a hindsight field. Would have been like, hey, if I'm going to make these... A little hindsight probably would have saved this situation from being so terrible, but, you know, yeah, you got to have those carnivores.
Yeah, they're the big ticket attractions. They really are.
Yeah, really big. Yeah. Emphasize that part.
Big ticket. Anyway, yeah, Chaos Theory is basically like the field of mathematics. That is like little changes, like even minute changes to like anything can produce wildly unpredictable results. Which includes like not only are you bringing back dinosaurs, which haven't been on the earth for 64 million and probably even older depending on what time period, but like millions of years to a completely different earth. Earth was completely different 10,000 years ago. Earth was different like 100 years ago, like how humans have changed it, but like millions of years, but like the climate is different, you know, the ecosystems of plants are different, the atmosphere is different, and like you're just going to put them in a little cages and expect them to just be like, yo, okay, cool, I'm just going to sit here, a little wave to the people.
Yeah, I think that was Malcolm's main bitch, right? Was that he was surprised that they really believe that they can control these forces out of which they've never experienced ever in the human life, right?
Yeah. So, and it's proven multiple times throughout that like they're not even like very good at like trying to recreate the environment. Like they get plants that are chosen for their appearance rather than
they're
poisonous.
Yeah, no, that was the other quote I was gonna think about reading. Because I was like,
it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Ellie pointed out. Yeah, no, I think Ellie pointed out. I was like, oh, if these poisonous plants are any indication, there is not enough care, or rather, well thought out care put into this park, you know? Which really says a lot.
It really does say a lot. Because it's like, you can, and I remember, I don't know if he says it this much in the book, but definitely in the movie, Hammond keeps saying that he spared no expense. It's like, And what did that get you? Like, you didn't spare expense where it needed to be spared or fucked. You didn't expend.
He didn't want to put in the effort to carefully plan it and ensure that it's safe and take his time.
And
he wanted
even
the
if you,
results and he wanted them now.
And even if he did, that's no guarantee. It's no guarantee that it would work out. You know, so yeah, at the heart of it, Chaos Theory is basically saying like, yo, this is stop.
And no, I think you have it appropriately summed up right next to it is the only thing you can expect is the unexpected, right?
Yeah, that old adage, right? So that's one of the biggest. And another quote, I think it was James Arnold. I think it was him who says that we have the problems of like a giant theme park and a zoo combined. Like there's so many little different things to make.
Not even just that. Like the zoo animals aren't really conventional zoo animals. They're fucking monsters.
Yeah, they're kind of monsters. They're basically just amalgamations of what you think. And like, yeah, are they even really true dinosaurs? Like they're not.
That's another point, right? Yeah, you know?
Going to the ethics of that.
I think Wu states, and I'm going to paraphrase here, but at best, there are guesses on the DNA, right? They have to fill in.
And I think that kind of goes hand in hand with like how paleontology kind of works in general, because, and I'll go into it later about, you know, especially the behavior. At the end of the day, studying, what we have to study is the bones and what else they left behind, tracks maybe like preserved embryos. We've seen that, you know, little dinosaur babies. But at the end of the day, we'll never fully understand, you know, how these animals behaved. And, you know, we don't even really have a good grasp on how living animals are behaving. Like animal behavior today, studying is not easy. Cause it's like, we can't just ask an alligator, yo, why'd you chomp my foot off?
Or, hey, why are you such a bitch?
Are you such a bitch? Like, and is doing, applying that to extinct animals is just crazy. You can't do it. You can't fucking do it. And I remember also was reading how Henry Wu specifically says, like, behavior is just like, he didn't even think about it. Like, because you can't. It is unpredictable. Like, and so he just changed the genes to see if he can get a behavior that seemed okay.
Let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens. And, you know, that is kind of going hand in hand with, especially later in the book when he's hopped up on morphine, the dangers that Ian Malcolm predicts about how science works and how people are more interested in. I have a really good quote here. Maybe I'll save it for later.
Well, actually, I kind of want to get into that because he.
Yeah, because.
In no uncertain words, he's saying that I think, at least how I interpret it, is that there's not really a respect for the work definitely. That went into it, right? Like, yeah. There's such a lack of respect, they don't take precautions when they make scientific advancements, and that's Malcolm's big bitch, and that's why he says, he compares it like, oh, the karate master put in all that time and effort, so he understands how not to, how not to abuse his power because of how much effort put into it, but Wu, on the other hand, at least as Malcolm sees it, is that he got all this knowledge that he didn't respect the danger that could come from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is, especially later on, where it's a hard critique of how science works and how you stand on the shoulders of giants without really putting in. He literally says that, and like you didn't have to work as hard as Albert Einstein did to understand like what he had to understand. You just read what because he put in the work to put it into words, and then you could just do whatever you want with it. Because fuck it, because science doesn't tell you.
No caution
science,
needed.
Science only tells you. How to do something, not if you should do it. You know,
I think that's a good one. You just said right there is a winner. Like if winner you should do it, right?
Or another one is talking about how, especially like scientific discovery and how scientists are always trying to poke and prod and measure and make things known. Like in the quote unquote pursuit of knowledge, where it really is like it's in his words. And I don't even know if I fully stand with this, but I really do like how he quotes it with.
Oh no, I agree. Discovery. Like,
Where was the quote? Oh, discovery is always a rape of the natural world. Always. It's like Jesus. You know what?
I was like, okay, dude. Well, you know that morphine was discovered and it's keeping you fucking alive right now. So clearly, not all discoveries can be bad.
I don't think he's implying discovery is bad. But that at the end of the day, it is.
I think that's how you could interpret what he said there.
No, I think it's an interpretation. Like at the end of the day, whether or not, and he says it later on when comparing about like how humanity is so infinitesimally, I can't say this word. It's so small compared to like the whole entire history of Earth, like how we're just a blip in the Earth's time. Like we don't matter. Like you know, the Earth and life will find. Like he doesn't say the quote, but that is a famous quote. Life finds a way. No, I think, and I think it is, like whether or not it's right, I don't think that's the quote's about. It's just, no matter what you are intruding on
the natural order,
the natural order, you know, and whether or not it's right is, well, you can't answer that. So we go back to,
well, you can answer it when a shit ton of your staff gets eaten alive by dinosaurs. Like maybe this wasn't the best choice.
Well, does it? Because even at the end, even till his very dying breath, like Hammond is still like, I'll do
better. It was all their fault.
They didn't have
the vision.
He literally name drops every single person who's dead. Specifically, well, Arnold's dead. Wu's dead.
He name drops Mulden. Mulden's still alive.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, he got through it somehow. He's a drunk. Regis, that guy, he was a piece of shit. Oh man.
I feel kind of bad because he pissed himself. Then he got pissed himself, abandoned the children, and then probably pissed off the T-Rex or aggro the T-Rex by a smaller T-Rex. Like that kind of sucks.
Yeah. But yeah.
Actually, sorry to cut you off here, but since we're still on themes, I feel like chaos theory kind of interrelates to the main theme, which I think is the arrogance of man in controlling nature. I think that's fully explained or explored rather in Hammond, because even at the end, like we were talking about, even at the end of the day, when all this shit went wrong, Hammond's still thinking about plan B and making more parks. He thinks he can control what happened despite all the fucking deaths. Because it wasn't his fault. They just lacked vision, clearly.
They lacked vision.
What a fucking cuck.
And I think it really is. Like, he explained, straight up says, like, he doesn't really do it to... At the end of the day, it's about money. He wants to make money. You know, he tries to justify.
Yeah, he was on a tirade like, oh, if I had the cure for cancer, why can't I charge a shit ton of money for it? Or something like that, right? When I read this, like, wow, what a piece of fucking trash. Yeah,
kind of piece of shit. He's like he, in his mind, he thinks he's like, yeah, a visionary, like fucking like Walt Disney over here. But at the end of the day, he just wants cheap at the cheapskate, Mr. fucking Krabs. Is that the only comparison I could think of?
I think his ending was kind of how do I say it? He got his comeuppance, right? Because he wasn't killed by some larger force of nature, right? He got killed because he was just dozing around and he got scared by his own theme park that was mishandled, the speakers by his grandchildren, which he thought was a good idea to invite to persuade a Gennaro. And then he got eaten by like the smallest fucking dinosaur.
Yeah.
So I thought that was actually
appropriate.
I don't know if justice is the right word, but
you could say justice.
I would say it was fair for sure.
He's a piece of shit. No, don't worry. He's a piece of shit in this. I think that's one of the main differences between this and the book. Maybe if we do the movie, I'll talk more about it. Because
is he not so shitty in the movie?
Oh no, he's a lot more sympathetic in the movie and not a piece of shit.
What? So he doesn't die? No, don't tell me.
Well, I won't say it. Maybe you should watch. Maybe we'll watch the movie later. But I think I do also want to touch on. I don't actually know if.
Wait, sorry. Before you continue, is Jurassic Park the movie rated PG?
I think it'd probably be 13. It feels like it was because there's still like some. It's definitely not as descriptive. But I mean,
the standards for violence is a lot different back then as it is now.
Yeah.
Or rather, there's less sensitivity. I guess what I'm trying to ask is, if they made it PG, then that tells me that was targeted towards children. So that's why they started trying to make certain people look so shitty and
focus more on
the dinosaur. And that's why they try to, because like we said earlier, this arrogant advancement in science is seen as pessimistic and it's shown in a bad light. But in the movie, you know, this iconic scene when Alan and Ellie are in a Jeep and they're seeing some dinosaur, right? That's shown to be a scene of wonder. And when I watch the movie trailer, you know, I feel like it's more of that effect.
I would still say the initial scenes, and actually I would say throughout the movie, they're still awed by the behavior of the dinosaurs and seeing them in the flesh. But that doesn't mean, and because even at the end of the day, Alan's like, no, we need to kill them, right? But I think they're showing a better respect for nature, and like you can still be in awe of these creatures but still recognize that they shouldn't exist. I think the books lack a musical score. Like I definitely do think, you know, the it's iconic, you know, the John Williams. But
yeah, no, I can think of I can imagine it right now as we're talking about it.
It is PG. How iconic it is. Wow. Okay. Yeah. No, I think that theory sounds pretty sound. Like makes a lot of sense, because I mean there is a reason why it is one of the highest grossing films of all time, because
really? No, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
well, I mean, wasn't Minions one of the highest grossing films?
Well, you know, this was back when that meant something.
No, the point I'm trying to make is Minions is a kid's movie too, so
I bet Parental Guardians is probably kids watch that too. Yeah. Anyway, speaking of chaos, or speaking of
speaking of ethics
and bioengineering, hey, guess what? It's still a fucking problem. I don't think we're anywhere near, and I think that kind of goes back. It's like, yeah, science doesn't give us the like, should we do it? Like
the morality of advancing, right? It just tells you how to do it. Should I do this, like you mentioned earlier?
Yeah, like bioengineering and genetics is still like a growing field that I don't think it's reached, like it's affecting everyone's. Well, it probably still is, you know, the whole like GMO thing too. That's creeped into the public mind, but I think the potential for it to completely take over, like, our society, as it tells here, you know, where bioengineering or genetic testing or whatever will creep into our everyday lives. I don't think it's reached that point yet, but it definitely could.
That you still, know.
I mean,
I'm just waiting to get my superhuman genetics and have my my third arm. Third and fourth.
Maybe
arm.
It's like the didn't like fucking Elon Musk was like, oh, you can have a chip that like makes your brain good or something.
What was it? Makes your brain good.
Chip and brain. Yeah, the Neuralink.
I hope that's what he said. Hey, this chip makes your brain makes your brain do good.
Makes your brain do good things. You put it into like a pig or something.
And what? The pig started talking pig Latin. that wasn't a good joke. Don't laugh at that.
What? No, I like. Shut up.
That was a dad joke. Come on. Don't laugh at that.
Why? I love those. What's wrong with that?
Oh, come on.
We're fine. Oh, God. Here. We're here. We're accepting a dad. Or at least I am.
Yeah.
No, are. but yeah, I think that's and when I was watching the movie too, I was like, God, this all still, like, it's not any better. It actually reminds me of a moment in a.
Okay.
Maybe the next episode we're gonna do of something that we both watched.
The world, God only knows.
It was about maybe. Fuck it. It's like when what's his actual name? I just know him as Kami-sama.
Oh, Katsuragi.
There you go. I'm like, what's his name? When he's like, games with voice commands are terrible, and I'm like, wait, when was this made? 2011? Yeah, still shit.
They're like, probably still fuck? Terrible now, yeah.
Like, what is there? I don't know.
Now, before we get too far into this tangent, I do want to say, it's always the media or the content that shut up, you stupid cat. God damn it, boy.
Rare cameo by Nyanko. gotta add him. Featuring Nyanko.
There you go. The featuring Nyanko big. No, but... The media that lasts a long time is, and the reason why it ages well is because the issues presented or the content that's presented is still relevant today. Mm-hmm. So, like we were saying earlier, the big theme is there shouldn't be a lack of caution when making scientific advances, right? There shouldn't be an arrogance that you could just control the forces of nature so willingly, right? Mm-hmm. And even though this book was made in the 1990s, that issue is still relevant today, right?
Yeah, definitely. Which I think maybe you could say it's a little ironic that a book about dinosaurs is timeless. Yeah, yeah, something that sounds like a tagline.
I guess in a sense, yeah, because it's, you know, dinosaurs are old, but
yeah, they're old, but you know, it's still, we're still learning new shit. Like now is like, I think it's like we're going through like a dinosaur renaissance where new species are still getting fucking. No, they are not solved. They never will be solved. We'll never fucking know. Which I think is like one of the...
Not until we start cloning them with amphibian DNA so they can reproduce and have a gender or sex change.
You know clownfish do that too?
Yeah.
You've seen the article where it's like, yeah, Finding Nemo? That works a lot. That works a little... That's a little creepier in real life. If you think
because then he would fuck his son. Yeah,
I wasn't gonna say it, but yep, you're right.
It's true. Yeah, no. I'll show you as a fucking clown.
So yeah, fucking. There's no ethics. That's what we learned. No, because the very first chapter of the book is like, yeah, we're going so far, and I think it's specifically
I'm gonna get into it more in the key directing, but no, I thought that was a really good way of setting the stage, right? Because it's showing like the scientific advancements that are possible at that time in 1990s and obviously still happen today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is done in secret and in haste and for profit. It's done fast.
Oh, there you go.
End goal of making money. And that's exactly what happened.
I wanted to quote from that beginning.
Another one.
I'm sorry. Shut up. What's
wrong? Like muffling him.
Yeah, squeezing his face. Aww. Well, not squeezing, but I'm pressing it.
Man, I want to meet your cat. Maybe he'll go up to Reno one day.
He'll come down to Vegas eventually. But
okay.
What's it called? Shit, I got distracted.
No, you were gonna quote something from the beginning chapter.
Oh no, yeah, I wanted to quote from that opening, from that prologue, but I just thought that'd be too easy. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of low hanging because obviously in most books or most stories, the beginning stuff sets the tone, or rather sets the stage for the story and for the themes and the characters. So it just seemed a little too easy to do.
Yeah, no, I think you picked a good one, because it is like, and I think it also think about, because that was by Hammond, was it? It was him telling Gennaro that everything's fine.
I think so. Or it was
Arnold.
It was one of the staff members for sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, actually, you know what? I think it was Hammond, because I think Donald is Gennaro.
Yeah,
Gennaro.
No, yeah, that is Gennaro. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that was Hammond.
Lawyer. Yeah. And I think that would speak
the
to
lawyer
the difference
that
Grant
almost beat up
for not going down the hole.
Yeah, it's like, stop being a fucking pussy.
God, that's, I wouldn't want to fucking go down that hole. Fuck that.
Hey, you helped create this shit. You fucking deal with it, idiot. You know,
there was a quote that's like, what are you? Are you like? What's the word? Are you like not scared, but less than that? Like, are you like rattled or something? He's about to say, "No, I'm scared shitless." So this is honest.
That was the other quote. It was either the planned quote, yeah, or that quote that I was going
to say. I'm not a little nervous. I'm scared shitless.
No, and then he cut him off and said, "Follow me."
Oh, yeah.
So he gave no shits. What is with you today?
My God, he is getting so many hits in. He's amazing. But yeah, no, yeah, playing with God, you know, the whole,
they're playing God, yeah
playing, oh my God, look at that guy, just look at that God made creature.
Say perfect. Something now. Yeah, nothing. Nothing, you idiot. I'm gonna hold,
he's got like a salmon colored collar, or is that like rose gold?
No, it's
or
pink, because Joanna picked the collar, obviously.
See, I was excited because I got to get a pink collar for my cat, because she's a girl. Yeah. Enforcing gender stereotypes.
Joanna got all this pink stuff. So he likes pink. I was like, how would you even know? He never told you that.
I mean, I think they have, I don't think they have full color vision, but.
Hey, you want to see his wiener? Hey, stick it out, boy.
I mean, it wouldn't be the first time I've seen a cat wiener.
Make it come out, boy.
Now I have to see a cat pussy, which. Yeah.
I'm okay with not doing that.
That's weird. What are we talking about? Oh yeah, no. Ethics.
Continuing on with the ethics of cat vaginas.
Because like, you know, he talks about how he had a little elephant. Hammond had a little elephant that he would show around. Like, hey, look what I can do.
That's how he got that. That's how he got the Japanese funding.
I think that actually, when they said, I'm like, huh, I think that makes sense. I think a lot, at least for me viewing YouTube, I see a lot of like videos of like Japanese zoos and caring for, I don't know. I guess there's a connection with the Japanese and zoos.
I think they mentioned something about Japanese zoos. They call, right, in the book.
Yeah, I think they do pretty good in Japan. And but yeah, you know, that little elephant, and you know, that thing suffered and died badly.
Well, yeah, something tells me they weren't naturally made to be that size.
Not natural. Well, just make it natural. That's just throw enough money at it. Do it.
That's literally Hammond's solution. Is just, if I put throw enough money into it,
throw enough money
situation,
even more money. Oh, okay.
Wow, those guys didn't work out. They fucking got killed by dinosaurs. I'll just fix it with more money. You notice how he didn't even mention Nedry.
Yeah, well, I think at that point, like everyone knew he was terrible.
I mean, he basically caused the death of all those people, but yeah. What's it called? He didn't even, like, anyone deserved to get shot on, honestly, would be that guy, right? But he didn't even fucking think about it.
I guess, no, it's probably because, like, at that point, like I said, like, at that point, he spent the rest of the book shitting on him. So he's like, yeah, well, think about these other guys. They haven't gotten enough blame.
I really like Muldoon as a character.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. Muldoon, he's
Muldoon, is how you say it?
Oh, there's two oohs. There's two O's.
Uwu? Muldoon. Muldoon, so I remember Gennaro's like, oh, what about him? In reference to Nedry, because, you know, it was his corpse.
Yeah,
and then Muldoon like, looks at him,
what about him? Yeah. It's like, fuck him. He's... No,
he basically killed everyone. Fuck him.
No, because I also like that, because when the two encountered Regis's thing, and he's like, okay, they give him a little bit of respect, but this dude,
they found his fucking leg.
They found his leg. Hey, and they're like, hey, let's give it a burial. But nah, for this dude though, no, fuck him.
Fuck him. I ain't gonna get acid for that motherfucker. Oh, and then he fucking, and then at the end of the book, he threatens fucking Gennaro with a fucking
fucking Calpha. It's like, oh, don't worry, you won't. He's like, hey, you know, you'll die. Probably.
No, he said the dinosaurs don't die. I want to emphasize. He said dinosaurs.
Humans are a little smaller. Probably.
What is with you? Go outside. Go outside again.
Damn.
Stupid.
He just wants to talk about Jurassic Park. He's like, yo, that was awesome.
He said, I like birds. I kill them.
How come there weren't any big? How come there weren't a saber-tooth in the book? Wants representation.
He thinks he's a killer, but he got bit in the neck and got sad.
Oh, he got bit in the neck. What was he fighting another cat?
That's what the what's it called? The vet explained it to us as because he had a huge. He came. This is before we stopped letting him out after this. But he had a huge boil on his neck that he popped in our bed. And then what's it called? The vet is like, oh yeah, he probably got bit by another cat.
Aww. I was like, oh. That's how you get rabies too.
Well, he had his rabies shot already.
Yeah, that's good.
From what I understand, the animal control will just instead of just straight putting him down, they'll neuter and give him their shots and then release him to the wild. That's why a part of his ear is missing to indicate that.
Yeah, I think Cal had his. I think both. Yeah, both Cal and Ashley have their ear notched, to call it, I think.
At first, I thought it was I thought it was just crazy folks. I was just holding cats down and cutting their ears, which, you know, who knows, but...
Who knows, but what I do know is that... Evolution of dinosaurs. I will say, the perception, really, I think, of dinosaurs did... At least the public perception, because we actually have known the connection between dinosaurs and birds for, like a century before, like the 1800s.
The earliest thing I can remember about that is in Chicken Little when they compared the chicken to a T-Rex and then they showed a picture of Chicken Little right after. That's on Disney Channel, obviously. Did you watch Chicken Little?
Yeah, I did. It was okay. That was all right. I've seen some videos are like, oh man, Chicken Little's terrible. I don't remember it being terrible. I don't remember it being like
trash.
Amazing. Like super good.
It was just there. You ever see Meet the Robinsons?
Right. I did also see Meet the Robinsons and remember think kind of have the same feelings. It's like it's okay.
I feel a little better about Meet the Robinsons.
Yeah, me too. That was a good moment of hold on. Okay. Let's stop talking about this dinosaur because birds are dinosaurs. They are. But this book does.
Birds aren't real. They're just cameras birds made by the government.
Okay. I don't want to get in trouble for
cutting out.
slowly getting deleted by the government. It's like, well, spoke too soon, but and I think the book does do a good job of like, yeah, dinosaurs are like weird because they are reptiles and especially in the beginning. It's like, you know, it's a lizard. Like when they were finding out like, oh, what bit the little girl? It's like, you know, dinosaurs and lizards are like distinct things, you know, they don't.
I thought that was a really interesting detail in how they explored that too, because I think they were mentioning that the number of fingers was different, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Yeah, because they are distinct, you know, dinosaurs, because back in the day, we did know that they were reptilian. So, but what reptiles are around? Most of them are like lizards or crocodiles.
Alligators.
We just assumed they were giant lizards that had their... tails dragging on the ground and were cold-blooded and probably didn't move that big because, you know, lizards are very stop and start movement. You know, they're not really, there's just a thing about them. But as it turns out, they're a weird, like, combination of birds
and amalgamation of.
Yeah. And there was a quote where they were observing the behavior and it's like, God, they really are something completely different from, like, we can make comparisons and we do. That is...
That's how
called phylogenetic bracketing. I want to say breaking out my knowledge of how we try to use living examples. Yeah, yeah, helps us understand. But like at the end of the day, like we'll never fully understand. Like going back to that, and they are really they're just so unique, and there's so much variation. And I think this book did a good job, especially bringing that to the public light of you know constantly reinforcing like the bird like characteristics of dinosaurs, but also how the ways are not like birds. Like they you know they are scaled. They are. They'll kill it. What was it? I think it was a. They're comparing the intelligence of a parrot, like, oh, a parrots are as intelligent as chimpanzees, but I've never seen a parrot kill someone.
Yeah, that's what Gennaro said. I was fucking laughing when I read that.
That was good.
That was good. Hey, so, hey, you don't know that. I'm sure that parrots killed somebody.
Parrots tasted blood somehow.
He's like, Polly wants to murder.
Polly wants a cracker. Like, cracker, I mean.
That was a good effort. Raptors especially are smart. Dude, those fucking raptors ate that baby.
That's so sad. It's like, because you're like, oh, look at little baby. It's going to be, man.
You know, it's the baby raptor they introduced in the beginning that Tim kind of bonded with. And Tim's like, oh, maybe they'll treat it nicely. And then, oh, my fucking God, they ate that shit. When I read that, monsters. I felt a little sick, to be honest. I was like, Jesus Christ.
You didn't feel sick the other time, the other 10 times people could feel their intestines as they were eaten alive?
Honestly, no. Just the thought that they ate. It's
they
like
a baby, yeah.
They ate a it's baby, rough. Yeah. I think that's kind of freaking me out.
Yeah, but hey, that does happen a lot in the wild. Babies get eaten in the wild all the time. Animals have no qualms. They don't give a fuck. They'll eat babies. No, like how if a lion, right? If a male lion who is invading like a pride and like ousts the established male lion, he will kill the cubs in that pride. So the females will go in heat, and so he can breed them and pass on his genes.
Does he eat them too? Baby.
Oh yeah, maybe. He feels like it.
Jesus Christ.
That's great. Fucking awesome.
Fantastic.
I love biology. Animals are amazing.
You didn't love it that
natural
much.
Natural world. Yeah. I wish.
You could.
Let's not talk about one of them. Let's not talk about life regrets. Let's talk about Tone. I know. I'm fine. I'll get back there one day.
All right. So Tone, obviously, it views, obviously there's awe and wonder that is put with these dinosaurs, especially with what was the name of the really big one, the Brontosaur? That's not the name, but
You kind of can call him Oh man, do I want to get into a Brontosaurus versus a Patasaurus? I kind of do. I'm not gonna lie, dude.
I kind of want to say long necks, but you know, since
Littlefoot, let's call him Littlefoot.
Since I can't do the technical terms, when they saw the fucking long necks, obviously there's a sense of wonder and awe, right? Mm. But I think what outweighs that for the majority of the story is that pessimism, or rather, showing that having that arrogance as far as I can control nature as a man, it is foolish. And I think that's the main takeaway. And I think that's how the science is portrayed, rather. It is foolishness.
Yeah.
And incorrect.
There's definitely Malcolm basically becomes the mouthpiece for this theme in the later half, where he's just like, I was telling you guys you fucked up earlier, but now I'm really telling you how bad you fucked up.
I was like, Jesus Christ, you just say anything useful or are you just going to die?
Just
fucking die already, you old bastard. Jesus Christ.
You did.
If you're so goddamn. Oh, no, I read the synopsis for the second book, like the first few sentences. Like, shit, I shouldn't have read that.
You can't keep a good idea. Actually, I think it was kind of poetic how both Hammond and Malcolm end up dead. Like, you know, the park's biggest champion and Hammond, and it's been the biggest critic.
Anti-champ.
Yeah, its biggest critic still ended up dead. Like, yeah, he was right, but he still died.
Yeah, it kind of happens if you get attacked by a T-Rex.
Yeah, it's not great. But yeah, the tone, it does start out, I would say, would I call it a slow burn? Maybe. I definitely do feel like
that. I wouldn't even say it's that slow, to be honest, because
it's not that slow, but
it kind of. I like how you put here, it starts out mysterious, and I would say that makes sense tonally, because these people are investigating, like the reptilian expert, and obviously Grant, the dinosaur expert, like they're slowly investigating, like, how can this be? This must be some sort of mistake, but they look further into it, and obviously that's where they are.
Yeah. So, yeah, we did the little mysterious and little the awe, fantastical when we first see them. And that kind of turns into when the shit danger. Goes wrong, danger, dread, horror, thrill. Like this book doesn't let up. Like basically, once shit goes down, it keeps going down. There's only like a couple moments of rest, like when they're playing with Ralphie. Oh man, I hope that guy's dead.
Died.
I love how, like, I think Lex, the girl's like, he's probably dead.
Lex is knows. Like, you know, if she got eaten alive, I wouldn't have been surprised.
I think she does. She does a good job of being a kid. You know, I actually do like some of her complaints. Going, I do think
she was going out of her way to die. Like, she was making noise when the T-Rex was looking for them. She was yelling at Tim to make the computer do good. Yeah. Which is always what you shouldn't do in a tense situation. No, God. Aside from obviously. The darker, or rather the dread, and then the sense of awe. I think something that this book really does well tonally is the tension and the intensity mm-hmm. that builds in its situations, especially in like those moments when, for example, like I mentioned earlier, when Tim's on the computer and then he's struggling, obviously, yeah. not only as a child, but someone that's never seen this a sort of system before, what's going on with it. And I think it's really good at showcasing that.
Yeah. And even at the very end, once everyone's like kind of counted alive, and then like, oh, we gotta go to the Velociraptor nest. It's like as one last thing, kind of bookending, you know, how Grant studied Velociraptor nests fossilized. And now he's like, oh, we gotta do it in real life. And that's still, it's still to, and like Hammond dies in like page 396 or whatever, 399. Like it doesn't let up. And until the very end, once everyone's off the island. So yeah, no, I think it does an amazing job of keeping that tension up until the very end. So yeah.
Ready to move on to characters and their arcs?
Yeah, I didn't really write anything specific down here because I do think, I don't know if people really grow other than just like...
Well, some people develop in certain ways, as in
some people,
death.
Some people stop growing forever.
No, but I mean, obviously... Okay, so Hammond didn't fucking learn his lesson, so...
Dead.
So the narrative corrected that by having him eaten by the small dinosaurs that first showed up in the beginning, which is kind of poetic in a sense. Malcolm, yeah, he died too, obviously. And he didn't change his mind on how the park was going to turn out, and, well, he wasn't wrong. I think, if anything, the ones maybe we should focus on is Gennaro, let's just start with. Sattler, Grant, Tim, Lex, I don't think learned anything really.
she learned
how to yell at her brother to make things work better.
Yeah,
and, okay, and look for ice cream, even though oh, God, about to die, God, I gotta look for ice
yeah,
cream.
A little bit. It's like if Bianca was doing that, I'd be like, shut the fuck up, you have your eat the candy bar, that's all you're getting, shut up.
You know, I actually, you are kind of right in a sense. I don't think this book is really meant to be enjoyed seeing the character arcs, right? It's more just following it for its narrative and its themes and its tones and obviously the setting itself and all, the situation itself, right? But I still think we should cover.
Yeah, we should still talk about some of them, yeah.
Because obviously, like, at least in this book, Malcolm and Hammond don't really develop. They just... stick to their guns, and they made their beds, so they lied in it permanently, rather. Yep. But so let's just start with Gennaro. So obviously I have a quote here.
Ooh.
Relating to him. Gennaro thought, we were going to make a fortune on this place. A fortune. He hoped to God that the island was safe. So obviously he was cautious, and he's not even one of the scientists, right? But he even approached it with caution. So I guess his main arc is that it confirmed his worries that, hey, this park with these giant monsters, it's probably not a safe thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I also like how he tags along with Muldoon, and Muldoon is just like barking orders at him, and he kind of has to.
Muldoon's I'm drunk. Let's go fight this T-Rex.
Let's go shoot a grenade at the T-Rex and hope he goes to sleep. Because if not,
fuck.
I think Southern now. I thought. I feel like he did a different voice before. It was like,
who cares?
I think in the movie they made him Australian.
Oh.
Yeah. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. That's as good as that's gonna get.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah, he's like, yeah, shit's bad. And then, you know, Grant does kind of have to make him own up a little bit by making him go into the
by beating his ass and shoving him against the wall.
Yeah.
Then actually, if anything, I would say Sadler and Grant kind of had the most catharsis, if there was catharsis available, seeing as they've been following these creatures all their life, right? And I'm sure they had a sense of wonder, but they weren't as, I guess, entranced as Hammond was in the sense that, hey, this park needs to survive, right? Like, they understood that, maybe not at first quite so much, but definitely at the end they understood we cannot control the science here. Even at the end, you know, Grant saying we need to see the raptors, or rather, we need to see them get destroyed, right?
Even though I think
how it was played out, I feel like it was implied that Grant was happy to see them because he was still analyzing them till the end of it. He's like, oh, they're migrating. That's fantastic, right? So that's, I think,
cool,
there's
shit.
There's probably, for someone who's been studying dinosaurs all his life and, like you mentioned, keenly, velociraptors, it probably is such a big moment for him to see it in person, even though it's probably not 100%. Like you said earlier, it's not 100% real velociraptors, right? It's whatever Wu thinks looks right, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'd say with that, it's being able to appreciate that these aren't, that they don't belong here, you know? But yeah, I think I remember one of the quotes that Malcolm does say is like, you know, scientists aren't able to just sit back and appreciate. And I think that's what they're doing at the end. They're just sitting back. Until they didn't stop the island from getting bombed, but like, you know, at that point, no, that
they couldn't appreciate that,
needed to happen.
I'm glad you mentioned that because that wasn't come to my mind, but no, I think that describes Ellie and Alan's arc, and rather they are studying it, but that is how they appreciate this, what's happening around them, even though it's not quote unquote real nature, they're still able to appreciate all of it. So I guess what we're supposed to take from that is that there is a way to still study, but also not try to keep pushing the envelope, right, of what science can discover.
Yeah. Actually, I think I like to think of it as, even though they aren't true velociraptors, you know, just like how they're not supposed to be able to breed, like they were just able to find a way to exhibit, at least you'd like to think, the natural behavior that the real thing did millions of years ago. So I'd like to think of it like, so, like somehow like an echo of the real animal was in these.
It's more accurate than, you know, looking at straight bones, right? There's at least something, there's some merit to it. So Tim, what can we say about Tim? His parents are getting divorced and his sister's a little shit. But for some reason, he's more competent than half of the adults on Jurassic Park. AKA Henry Wu made all these dinosaurs and then gets eaten alive, intestines first. Why do they always go for the intestines first?
I don't know. And maybe it's something about the nutritional value, but like, or maybe where poop goes.
Maybe they think the stomach's a weak area for people. I don't know. Ed Regis pissed himself, fucking ran away, then got killed by a small T-Rex.
The thing is, like, if I put down characters, what am I gonna write? Henry dies.
But Arnold dies. They die, dude.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no, okay.
Make it like a super cut montage of like characters that died and how they died. You know what I mean?
Nedry. Oh man, he gets.
He get fucked.
He got fucked by the Dilophosaurus. Dilophosaurus.
Ass in the face. Then he got. It's always the stomach.
Yeah, I know. That's what I wrote here. It's like, what was it? Oh, for the tone, it's like
grim.
Lots of feeling your own intestines in this book.
No, hold on,
that's what I remembered as a kid.
I think we could do that better. Getting in touch with your insides.
God damn it. That's what in the subtitle for the book, Jurassic Park, or getting in touch, how to get in touch with your insides. That's pretty good. See, that's good. That's good enough to not be a dad joke, right? That's pretty good.
Well, it's definitely more gory than most dad jokes. Yeah. But something I want to put over on Sattler is she's one tough gal, man. Yeah. You can't fuck with Ellie. Not only did she escape those
the crossover
we didn't know we wanted. No, but she jumped off a very high building into a pool like an action movie.
And that's fucking crazy.
And it was probably like the adrenaline, but she said she wasn't even feeling scared. She, in fact, she was exhilarated. I was like, God damn, could you be any more of a adrenaline junkie? Like,
yeah, no, that's like, I'm going to die unless I do the thing I need to do.
And then who gives a shit? Yeah. Let's do. And that not only is she almost most certainly gets eaten by velociraptors, but she still finds time to argue with a Muldoon and say, "Don't call me girl." So I really enjoyed. And obviously, I think they're more the pro tags here, but I really enjoy Alan and Ellie.
You know, yeah, I think Alan Grant comes off as a goddamn fucking hero. For one, he's, you know, keeping the fucking kids safe.
He didn't pee himself.
He had the 3v1. Oh man, that was like, no. When I was reading, I was like, oh shit, what's he gonna do? Like, oh fuck the serum. Oh fuck. Oh, what's he gonna do? All the eggs. Oh, he's a fucking galaxy brain, man. Oh man, that was great.
Honestly, I think that's one of my favorite favorite moments in the book is that 3v1 scene when. And I think what set the tone for me, and I'm going to paraphrase it here because I don't think I have the quote, is that I've been studying velociraptors my whole life, so let's see how much I really know. Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool.
That's a pretty good one.
Anything else
in terms of characters? Do we miss any? Other than like the kind of the throwaways in the beginning, we're kind of setting...
Those are more just for like setting the stage, right? Yeah. I mean, one of them did come back at the end. I can't remember his name.
Dr. Gutierrez was. I think it was a nice way to bookend. You know how we started out with, oh, what's going on with this, and then he comes up and he's like, yeah, the government doesn't want any of you to go because this shit's fucked up.
No, I think that's how does Eric Bischoff say it? The end always hangs in the beginning. Right. So obviously you have the beginning where it sets the tone like, oh, science is developing extremely fast. And obviously we see how that plays out with everyone getting their stomach eaten. But and then also it starts with Dr. Gutierrez. It starts with the compies. Right. And then when we get to the end, I know the last dinosaur that they show is really the velociraptors, but you still have the bookend of Hammond getting eaten by the compies and Dr. Gutierrez being the liaison for the American Embassy.
Yeah. Good way to bookend your story. So I think that might be it for characters. Unless we want to talk about the dinosaurs as characters, which I don't know.
The reason a big reason why you want to do this book is because you want to talk about dinosaurs. So let's talk about some fucking dinosaurs.
I fucking love dinosaurs.
Let's talk about some dinosaurs, pal.
So I really do like the Rex is just there's a good quote. I'll just say it here.
Hate him from left.
Yeah, I love it when she says that. It's kind of like just crystallizing. Yeah, he just doesn't give up. No, it starts out with the Rex, but then it ends with the Raptors. I think I really like how he did that because it's like you think that the biggest threat would be the T-Rex because he's big. He big boo, big jaw go crunch crunch. it really is like the intelligence and the number. Hold on, yeah, I want to get into that. Like
I think that was like that was one of the key turning points in the book is when Malcolm points out, hey, have you ever tried looking to see if there's more than 234, I think, species or 234 animals?
Like I look at like expected 8 found.
29. Oh, great.
That's like 4 times more than you expected. That's not exactly a problem. That's not exactly good.
Please refer back to the quote about how poisonous ferns indicates that there hasn't been a lot of planning in the Jurassic Park.
No, but I think, the animals are too. And I remember there was a quote when Tim is saying, like, oh, the Rex, it's not the Rex's fault. You know, he's just doing what he do. It's not like he is maliciously targeting them. And I do like Les is like, you wouldn't be saying that if you were in his stomach.
It's like, shut the fuck up.
No, but like at the end of the day, animals are animals. You know, is there intent in the dog that bites you, or did you do something to provoke him? You know,
it's the dog's fault. So it's the dog's fault.
You remember Doug?
Doug.
The cartoon. But yeah, no, Doug by Doug.
Yeah.
Do. I remember there was a Christmas episode where he bites like one of the girls and then her dad sues the dog.
Oh, no, I didn't. He sues the dog.
The dog.
That's pretty good. I like that.
That's really good. But yeah, then, like, yeah, then they're going to put the dog down.
Yeah,
he's put the dog down.
Oh, because
he bit his daughter.
Wait, so they sued Doug or they sued the dog?
They sued the dog.
Okay, but then if the dog lost the case, then they would put him down.
Yeah.
Damn, that's pretty dark for a kid's show.
Yeah.
Except for the part when you say you sue the dog, because no, you sue the person. Because suing the dog is obviously something stupid.
What? No. You're gonna
go up to Barkley and serve him papers? What the fuck do you think he's gonna do with that? Think he's gonna show up in a suit?
I could actually see that if we were ever somehow he got loose and he bet someone, that could happen. That's one of my nightmares.
You'll just have to clone him into a miniature Barkley.
He's even smaller now, but he's already pretty small.
And then keep him in a cage and show him to Japanese investors to get money.
I'll show him to Japanese investors so they can get me a free PS5. That's how that works. What was it? I was going to say. He's already kind of small.
Yeah, he's a small dog.
Oh,
go ahead.
I just wanted to also say, I know one of the popular criticisms of the movie, and I guess it would also apply to the book, right? Velociraptors are like 6 feet tall, right? Which in reality, the real life velociraptor is like 3 feet tall. It's like,
oh, really?
The size of a chicken. But there are, there's a raptor called Deinonychus that was like around that height. So that, you know, that does exist in the real life. And then there's Utah raptor, which is like the size of a polar bear.
Oh shit.
But a raptor. That thing is
that motherfucker is big.
That's so, you know, I think
they could take some liberty with it. It's not like,
yeah, I know, definitely. Like,
it's not like they took the T-Rexes and made them like 1 foot and said, "Oh, this is what T-Rexes are supposed to look like." You know what I mean?
Like how have you ever heard of the game called Ark? You know Ark?
I think I have.
Yeah, it's basically like, it's kind of like a survival game, but with dinosaurs. So like,
I definitely have.
Fell into it, and like, I apparently
did you play the multiplayer mode when you could be the dinosaur?
No, I didn't do that. Maybe I'll do that one day. But no, apparently the T-Rex there, if it's a scale, it's like two times bigger than what the largest known T-Rex is in real life. I'm like, okay. Maybe that's a little
something tells me having little people fight T-Rexes with guns and stuff isn't very real either, so who gives a shit?
No, I love how you can give your T-Rex like armor that lets it shoot head lasers. I love this game. This game's so stupid.
That's true.
they even made a mode that's like, okay, we're gonna take out all the high-tech shit, so you know you could just be caveman. But like, fuck that.
So,
I want to be
wait, okay. So how do you fight it then?
Spears? I don't know. Also,
spears ain't gonna kill the fucking T-Rex.
Anyway, I did put a Utah raptor in there just to see the scale. That is that's a scary
motherfucker. Why does it look like it has feathers?
Oh, you don't know? Because a lot of dinosaurs had feathers, including raptors. So
really?
Yeah.
That's not what the book was saying.
What book? Well, okay, this book from 1990?
Yeah.
And I guess that it goes back to like science marches on. It's like it was up to date for the time, but you know, things have changed.
So you're telling me majority of dinosaurs have feathers?
Maybe not majority, but definitely this branch of dinosaurs. And actually, it even says in the book, the name raptor, or the word raptor, is usually used for birds of prey, you know? And we've actually found that they might have used their big slashing talons in similar ways to real birds, or today's birds of prey, which I thought is really a really cool way to, you know, relating the living thing to back in the day. So yeah, no, they had feathers.
Didn't big know bird. That
so I mean that it's not a beak, that still is fucking full of teeth.
Great. I mean, you know, I think birds could still fuck you up with a beak.
They will too, man. Birds are fucking scary. You ever been near a pelican? Oh my god,
no.
What? Yo, pelicans are scary. No, I know. I'm just making faces. I don't.
Yeah, you are.
I can't even describe it. They're anyway.
You're telling me Pelipper with stockpile is the deadliest Pokemon on the planet.
I mean, hey, yo, if you let it do that, then, I mean, it's still four times weak to electric. So, I mean,
What's the move that that relates to stockpile when you
swallow,
spit swallow and then
spit out,
spit out,
spit up? I don't know,
something like that.
Pelipper.
All I'm saying is Quagsire with amnesia or curse.
Ooh, oh.
Or actually, you know, since they're making such big memes out of Bidoof, I had a Bibarel on my team. But I gave it, but it had curse, and it was actually pretty fucking good.
Oh no, curse! If you can curse up, you can sweep. Slow as
Yeah, I know that.
Hey,
that
you have quick attack or Aqua Jet. You have Aqua Jet. Who fuck it? Who cares about speed?
No, just get bulky enough that you'll survive, and then or put fucking God, what's the name of the
leftovers?
Move? Well, no leftovers, yes, but I mean when you have a like, I think a Gavantula. Is it Sticky Web?
Sticky Web, yeah, that does makes the opponent's
team. Yeah, put Sticky Web down. And then
there you go.
And then,
yo, are we gonna, you want to play some Pokemon? Yo, let's play some Pokemon right now. Let's do that.
I don't have any right now.
Oh, we could play online.
Like, oh, on fucking, what's it called?
One of the show. Okay, I don't know. Okay,
Pokemon Showdown. Pokemon Showdown.
Are we doing a podcast? we could do a fossil Pokemon only one. There you go. Related.
Hey, if I could use Haxorus, then fuck it.
That's not a fossil, you piece of
shit. I don't give a shit. It's Haxorus.
Hey, anything could become a fossil.
Your mom's a fossil. She's the same age as my mom, so she's not 60 yet.
Oh, wait, no, she is.
Oh.
Happy 60th birthday, mom.
Oh, she's a year older.
Wow.
But moving on from that.
Anyway, enough about tangents about moms and Pokemon. You had any questions this time?
No, honestly, I was reading it. At first, I thought I caught him slip up with the number of fingers that the compies have, but I went back. It's like, oh no, they're consistent. What I was reading had the only issue, and it wasn't really an issue with this content. It was more like there's a lot of misspellings or, you know, some grammar errors, but it didn't really matter. I was still able to get the gist of it.
I wonder if that's from your copy, which might not be, because
I obviously understand that this is what I'm reading is probably a translation of an actual copy that's not in English. And you read the actual book, but
still has my old address. If you want to read that, I don't know.
Read it out loud?
I don't live there anymore. I mean, so I guess I could. And my old phone number? Oh, this is different. I don't remember that. Anyway.
There's no... I'd have to look through it pretty closely to see if there are any, but I couldn't find any plot holes, honestly.
Damn.
And as far as like the scientific inaccuracies, I think science fiction does get a leeway, right? They get some slack with it. And honestly, there wasn't anything that stood out to me too terribly much. Like, obviously, I don't know my DNA too well, so I can't say how accurate that was as far as those pages were concerned or the computer programming. But I just appreciated that it was there because I think it really adds detail to the science fiction as opposed to. Like, you know, when you watch Iron Man and he's making like the suits and then you have all these holograms and stuff like that, as cool as it is, it's vague, right? It's not specific, so you can't really get behind it. But what I really enjoyed, and I know I'm jumping ahead here, but I like the small details that how do you say his name? The author?
Crichton?
Well, that Crichton included in his book to really just immerse you in the science fiction.
Crichton?
Crichton. Dinosaur
Man. Yeah, maybe. Anyway.
Mr. Dinosaur.
So anyway, going on to other...
If Shawn Michaels is Mr. WrestleMania, then Michael Crichton is Mr.
I mean, sure. I guess? Anyway, going on to notable moments, I think I already said this is probably my favorite moment, is the when they have to count... They count the Raptors. I'm like, whoa, oh God, that's man.
Was it too loud? Oh, my bad.
What?
It's just hot.
What? Oh, I didn't. I was talking about the. Not talking about the Raptors. I'm not. I can't hear your fan. If that's what you're concerned about.
That's what I was saying. Like,
no, go.
It's fucking hot. It's
probably warm.
Oh, I bet you heard that.
Okay, I can hear that. Whatever. That's. I'm sure the viewers won't mind.
Well, no one's viewing this.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean.
They're listening it. Listening anyway. To it rather.
But another like. Basically, like a lot of the tense moments, like when
I think that was rafting, that was oh yeah,
the boat trying to get the boat and it's right there. And fuck,
Lex. I think Lex was shouting or something too. I'm like, bitch, are you trying to get fucking eaten alive?
Do you not understand the concept of quiet?
That's what, like honestly, if she was eaten in this book, I wouldn't be surprised.
Say that again.
If Lex wasn't eaten alive. In this book, I wouldn't be surprised, but
be like,
sadly, good. She didn't. She wasn't punished for her transgressions like her grandfather was.
This 8-year-old girl. Yeah.
She better fucking learn today. Unless she wants that Dilphosaur to fucking bit acid in her eye. Wait, is it? Did I say that right? Dilphosaur?
Sorry, it just sounds like a D-I-L-F, if you know what that means.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm asking if I'm saying.
It's correct. Well, there's an O, so it'd be Dilophosaur.
I like Dilophosaur.
You could call it that. No, it's fine. I don't
Dilophosaur. Mind. You know, dramatic irony moments.
Yeah, and no, I think there were a couple others, but I just remember the one was when Arnold and the control center was like, oh, no, there's no way they were going to go to the Avery. No, that doesn't make any sense. No.
Because clearly they understand the context of that situation.
It's like, God, I'm
running away from
the
T-Rex.
Yeah, it's like right the last line of that paragraph. God, I hope they don't go into the Avery. Next paragraph in the Avery.
It kind of
as they enter the Avery.
It kind of reads like a movie to me, right? Or a TV show, because that's kind of like how they do their cuts, right?
Yeah, I know. Definitely the shifts focus. I think that's what I like about this book, that it jumps. There's not just one narrator. It jumps between folk, different people, so we get a wider view of how badly things are going. You know,
actually, since we're talking about it like that, something I really appreciate about the switching perspectives and narratives rather is he also changes up the writing style based on which character is following around. Like, just for an example, when he was following Nidri around. The sentences were short and they were concise, and it was like if someone was it's almost as if like a computer was thinking, right?
Ooh.
That's how you could read it. And obviously, you know, he's very tech savvy and computer savvy, and he's really good at catching acid in his face, so that's how it's so I had to throw it in there. No, but
just like the never mind. Just like the dinosaur dude. Throw it. Yeah, whatever.
God, yeah. No, but he changes up the style. God, just I'm sorry, man. God damn.
That's fine.
What's with this?
It's not that loud. That's fine.
Stupid cat.
Oh, is it the cat? Did he do it? Did he turn the fan on?
Yeah. He used his parrot-like intelligence to turn on the fan.
Parrot-like intelligence.
No, but no, and then when he follows around God, I think it was Arnold. Or it was one of those characters, one of the staff members, like that wasn't Nidri. When they were talking about what's his face, Alan, they were saying Dr. Grant. The narrative was more like a respectful person, if you get what I'm trying to say here. So it really shifts its the writing style based on who's falling around, which is another key detail that I really enjoy because it changes it up based on who you're reading about, right?
Yeah.
Or even like Hammond. Like Hammond is obviously he's thinking about bigger picture, right? So a lot of his texts and lines are in relation to that. You know, he says the problem with his staff is that they lack vision. Like, you know, that's not something that Tim would be saying, right? That's not something Tim would put in his, or rather when they're falling around Tim, they're not going to, Tim's not going to be like, oh, those losers died because they lack, he said, Tim's focus rather is, what's it called?
Let's not die.
Well, no, like, Lex, stop trying to get us killed, right?
You know, definitely. It was a good variety.
Good you already covered what Malcolm's text was about discovery. Yeah.
Most of it. And actually, like, I think it's the second to last one, or maybe the last one, where he's talking about how even if humans are gone, like, the Earth won't care. life will probably find a way. You know, the result, even that time when I want to say it was, I don't know the exact time period, but yeah, there was a time back in early life where oxygen kind of almost killed everyone because it was accelerating plant growth and plants were growing so much. They were expending so much CO2 in the air.
Last of Us. Life,
other life. Is that how that works? So there were the plants.
Well, I mean, it,
fungus.
Don't fucking correct me, you bitch.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Cordyceps. Cordyceps virus. It's real.
I guess it is. Anyway, let's not talk about that. Let's not talk about any viruses that may or may not affect the global economy.
Oh, Ebola?
Damn. God, remember? Yeah, I wish. Remember Ebola? Remember
you wish?
Everyone losing their shit over... Right? Remember that? That well, was... that. What happened? Not, that wasn't really a thing. And
well, a real pandemic came by and a real jackass was in charge, so it didn't work out.
And now, I don't want to say I told you. Don't want to say I told you so, but...
Well, if I were to compare it to a character, kind of the arrogance and foolhardiness of Hammond is very applicable to this. We didn't cover it in the individual news, and I don't think we should, but I think that characteristic applies to a certain trumpet.
Think things are going on. Jesus. Okay, that's bad. That's... Okay, whatever. What are we doing?
Cut it out. I don't want the bird.
No, really? The bird police?
Yeah, because birds are controlled by the government.
Okay, hold on. Okay. Is this like a meme that I haven't heard before or something?
You never heard that? That birds are just cameras made by the government to spy on us? You never heard that?
No, I actually haven't.
That's probably a good thing that you haven't heard that before.
Yeah, I don't like to dwell too much into... I like Flat Earth is like enough for me for in terms of conspiracy.
Flat Earth is hilarious to me.
I mean, it's still... I don't think I can handle it anymore.
Hey, you never seen the Earth from outer space, so how do you know it's real? Well, you can't see gravity, but something tells me if I jump off a 10-story building, gravity is going to play into it.
But don't you know that gravity doesn't exist and it's all just space-time pulling on us?
Sure.
Have you heard of that?
No.
Okay. Space. I mean, that's less of... never mind. I'm not qualified to...
How is space-time?
Anyway, no, I'm just talking about the mass extinction and the resilience of Earth and how, yeah, we've been around for like human or homo sapien, been around for like what? I don't even know. What do you count as? A couple thousand years at most?
Yeah.
Maybe something like that?
Yeah.
It's like
human history pales in comparison to the history of the Earth.
And yeah, that's crazy. Like, that's...
Didn't our geology teacher point that out to us?
Well, I didn't need that to be pointed out. I just know that because
I know, but probably. That's what I think. I remember her mentioning that. I'm still rap videos. We had two hit rap singles.
Oh, what was it? It was how did my line go again? I see fossils and prints of ancient feats. Killer beasts walking the streets made of rocky sheets. That's pretty good. Come on. No, that last bit, that's good. That's legitimately good. I see skeletons and bones frozen. I remember. I don't even have written down here. I just remember. I see skeletons and bones frozen in time, roaming the earth before a homie learned how to rhyme. That's so good.
That is pretty good. That's for geology, right?
Yeah, it was geology. And then
we didn't do a music video for environmental science. We made a skit video.
No, we did. We did, didn't we? It was the Hood Gun Love It, but the Earth Gun Love It.
That was for geology.
That's an environmental science message.
No, I think that was for geology.
No, dude.
And
no,
then for environmental science, we did the Kamen Rider spoof.
No, we did the Kamen Rider spoof and the music video for Hood
Are
Gun
you sure?
Love It, Earth Gun Love It. Yeah, it's called Earth Gun Love It.
Yeah, I thought that was for geology.
No, so it was for recycling.
What was the name
about recycling?
What was the name of our geology song?
Old Red Rock. Because it was Old School by Tupac. Oh,
yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
This one's about Red Rock. We actually went and filmed at Red Rock.
What did we film for the Earth Golem of it?
I think we just filmed stuff around my house. Like, I remember we had, like, La Vegas Arena, and we had a picture that we drew of, like, a dot that said Vegas and a dot that said Reno. And,
why
like,
don't we just screenshot Google Maps?
I don't know. Because it's not as real, yo. We gotta have... we're not into the CG, man. We're in for practical effects.
Just like that T-Rex.
Just like the T-Rex. Hey,
I just want to see that stuff again, bro. I'm so sad you don't have it.
I think I have the music. I have the song. I do have the song somewhere on here, but I don't know if I have the music video.
Man, it's lost the time. It sucks.
Lost just like fossils. Some things weren't preserved correctly.
I guess I'll just have to clone that music video with amphibian DNA. And then we'll have to irradiate it on the nut area.
I love it. It's like, well, it's gonna be just gonna be random like croaks in the lyrics.
You ain't gonna.
Oh, there's random cat meows in this fucking podcast.
But anyway, yeah, and the realization when Arnold's like, oh, why does it say auxiliary power low? I thought we're on main power. Oh, we were never on main power. Oh, hey, that means the Raptor. The Raptor fence was never powered.
What's up, boy?
I didn't think about it. He literally says, I didn't even think about checking if the main power was on.
You know what made this doubly interesting, reading all this, is that actually where I work right now is a startup. It's not a startup company, but it's a startup branch of a big company, right? But a lot of the issues or a lot of things that go wrong are obvious. They relate to stuff that I experienced, right? Except for the part where people get eaten alive.
But. Are you sure? You sure you're not doing some dino DNA?
I'd be really surprised if I was.
Like, you're doing some work and somehow it was secretly sequencing, like, the dino genome.
No, but
I mean, genome.
Like, look, like, shut the fuck up. No, but, like, the thing about programmers having their own back door, that's real. I know, I don't know the password. I know the username for it, but.
Yeah, because you can't trust the can't always trust the people to not fuck it up somehow. So you gotta have a quick way solution to get in there.
And then also what's it called? No, like you mentioned, with the whole auxiliary and then the whole main power thing. Like, similar situations arise when you're making startups. Now, the crazy thing is, we're having those issues, or we're having issues like that, and it's not based off something that doesn't exist, right? There's an infrastructure to kind of go from a one-to-one. It's not one-to-one, but kind of like to base off of, right? Meanwhile, fucking Jurassic Park is like, hey, let's make a whole dinosaur park and not base it off anything. Because, you know, obviously there's nothing to base off of it. And, well, let's not take any precautionary measures.
Let's not do some testing with these dinosaurs to make sure they're, like, okay.
Make sure they won't fucking eat us.
Let's just go for 15 species and not just focus on like getting one that's pretty good. No, let's just do all of them. You know, you gotta have a variety. Kids like variety.
Kids like running away from a T-Rex for their life. And, you know,
they want the choice. They want the choice. Either do I want to run away from the T-Rex or the Raptors, or which one do I pick? I don't know.
You know, actually, something cool is that. Although it was really, I think my favorite moment, as I said earlier, was 3v1 Raptors versus Grant, and Grant prevailed.
This Sunday. This Sunday at Vengeance.
No, but.
That was a good one.
Yeah, that was pretty good. But no, I think another key moment I want to point out is fucking Tim is honestly one of the most competent characters in this book. Like, not even just as a child, but just one of the most competent characters, even in comparison to Muldoon or Grant, because he fought a fucking raptor in a kitchen with his bratty ass sister threatening to ruin his life.
He got the stakes, he got the lore, trapped it in the thing. Good.
Tim's like what, a 10-year-old at best?
I think he's 10.
So that's not a lot of force that he can exert exactly to trap a raptor in a fridge.
And he's a big nerd. Let's not forget, he's a nerd that his dad doesn't love.
Dad doesn't like that you read and like dinosaurs.
Dad doesn't like you as much because you're not his favorite.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is wrong? What? How's that even relevant to the situation?
God, this fucking girl.
Oh. Why didn't they eat Lex, man? Why couldn't that T-Rex just eat Lex?
God, I think that's so bad. Oh, God, I think of that moment. That's.
I kind of wish that Triceratops baby that she's taking care of impaled her, but
just right on there.
But you know, enough about what's it called? Cleansing the earth of annoying 8-year-olds. Let's move on. Okay, key directing / writing style. So, like we mentioned earlier, there's a lot of the end hanging in the beginning, which is good because I think it keeps the reader entranced in the story. Especially, it gives them like a little treat when they recall what happened later on in the book, right? As to what happened in context earlier, and like we mentioned earlier, they kind of do like the TV cuts of how one line leads to, like, for example, with how Arnold was saying, oh, I hope they don't go to the aviary. And obviously they cut to Grant going to the aviary, not just for shits and giggles, but hoping to find motion sensors, which he was unsuccessful for.
Well, that did remind me when Tim gets to the computer console and then it's a touch screen, but it's like a touch screen from 1990. So it has like the motion sensors on the thing. It's like, oh, that's so like,
yeah, shitty.
It's like, it's so shitty. It's, you know, it's one of those, you see an old computer and it's like, oh man, this is, what a relic.
No, when he said it was a touchscreen, I was like, wait, when did this book come out? Because like, obviously I'm thinking like phone touchscreen, yeah. Which clearly it was not, but. And what you have here is the billet to the dinosaurs is well done. And I have to agree with that wholeheartedly, because not only does he set the stage in the beginning with putting over the advancements in science, but you know, it really builds slowly with discovering the compies, and obviously till we get full-blown dinosaurs so much that they're trying to kill you.
Yeah, they're just everywhere. Just fucking
oof. And then they get blown up at the end.
They get for blown the most up part.
Not all
well,
of them
most
though.
Of them some of them though. Uh-oh. Who knows? Actually, now that was another thing. It's like they instinctively know that they need to eat foods that have lysine. Like they know that in their brains, their reptilian brains, that they're lysine dependent, and so they talk.
I mean, I don't know. I think how it works is that rather they crave something that can they crave sustenance that can fulfill that lysine need. I don't think they understand that it's lysine.
Don't understand it. No, yeah, they don't understand it. You know, the Arcads don't understand they need taurine. They just eat meat. Because that's where taurine is. Yeah, no.
So I don't think that was really a plot hole. I think that makes sense.
No. I wasn't saying it was a plot hole. I'm just, it's just me marveling at like how nature works out. Like how, like these animals without being told, hey, you need lysine, just instinctively know somehow in their brain, or maybe not know, but they
have
instinctively
the
seek it out. They seek it out.
No, and that speaks to how the accuracy and detail that Dinosaur Man used to craft this story.
Yeah, because life finds. Wait, I don't think he does not actually say it. Nowhere in this book is that said.
I can't remember. He kind of says it through Malcolm's fucking Perry Cox tirade of "Let me just rant while I die with this morphine for a few minutes multiple times."
Yeah, but yeah, I think speaking of dying, I think we're gonna time to kill.
I think
this
our time is dying out.
I think our time is up. My time is net. Wait, my time is your time.
No, it's your time is up. Not why would your time be up and then it would proceed to being now?
No, but it doesn't matter if it's my time or your time because it's the same time. Because
because John Cena's time isn't my time. It's his time.
Wait, hold on. But it's not his time. He's not on the podcast. Or is he? Oh my God, it's John Cena. Hi.
Hit the trumpets. Closing thoughts on Jurassic Park. Go.
No, yeah, I think still holds up. I remember loving it when I read it like in middle school, which.
No, hey, not on the bed. Hey.
Not on the bed. Don't do it on the bed.
Hey, he's dirty. Don't let him go on the bed.
Yeah, why is he dirty?
Because he went outside. He ran outside,
okay. Well, no, maybe he cleaned. Maybe he cleaned himself before he got.
He didn't clean himself when he came in. I know that.
Damn. But yeah, no, it's a haunting cautionary tale that is still as relevant as it is today with its message of genetic engineering and science as a whole. You know, it's just, I guess I'll save comparisons for if we do the movie, but no.
I think I'm going to have to, I'm going to have to wholeheartedly agree with what you put there. It is a cautionary tale on the advancements of not just genetic engineering, but of science that, what's it called? It doesn't have consideration for possible dangers.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you don't appreciate it for the themes, which it so clearly states through its multiple characters and their deaths, but I think what's also great about it is just the details that to really make the science fiction to like, it's not like they just said, hey, we cloned dinosaurs and that was it. They really got into the nitty gritty about it, at least for a layman's understanding. And also how they direct it as far as making the character narrations interesting, I thought was great. So overall, I agree. I'm going to have to agree with you. It was a good read.
Cool. Well, I think that does it for this week's episode of the Spotter Pod. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's getting late.
Yeah, we're going to 10 o'clock. Got to prepare for... I don't know. I hope we might be. Whatever. I don't want to talk about my.
You don't want to spoil it quite yet. But hey, folks.
Personal plans.
Thank you for joining us on this spot of Jurassic Park. It's a 200-page book about, but definitely worth a read. Check it out.
It's actually more like 400. Oh, I guess it depends on what your form of your book is. Because mine's 400.
You're not trying very hard, Joanna. Hey, folks, thanks for listening. We're not a weekly podcast, but we pretend to be. Listen next time. See ya.
Bye.